Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Self-Reacquaintance, the podcast where we explore the journey of self-awareness, identity, inner peace, growth through reflection and faith. Before we start, I am, of course, your host, Zanele Mngoni, and today's episode is a bit hard. I want to talk about something that is and has been a personal struggle. The topic is about forgiveness and memory. As Christians, we are called, and we know this, we are called to forgive. But can we truly forget? So the topic today is therefore a question. Can we truly forget? And if we can't, does it mean we haven't really forgiven? Something to think about. Just something to think about. On a personal note, as a Christian, I wholeheartedly strive to forgive. And I think I do. I have the ability to forgive and move on. If I am hurt, I always try to remind myself that I cannot make people have the same values as I do. Or I cannot control how they think, their perceptions, or how they do things, their actions. I can't control that. I can only control my reaction to it. And therefore, I have taught myself over the years also to be able to forgive and forgive completely, even when there is no apology that has come through. So yes, I think I'm capable of forgiving and not holding grudges against the person. But this is where I struggle. I might forgive, but forgetting child, that part for me feels nearly impossible. My mind doesn't forget. It won't let me forget. That's just how it is. There are things, good or bad, that I just cannot forget. Maybe over a long time, I may even forget some details of what transpired, but I will definitely not forget how it made me or you made me feel. So I wonder, does my inability to forget mean I have not truly forgiven? Or am I perhaps still holding on to some part of that pain? And does holding on to this memory and pain, does it mean I'm holding a grudge? Am I even holding on to it if I simply just cannot forget about it? I mean, what should I do to forget? Or is it normal? I mean, it is natural to remember. So today, this episode is going to be like Dear Diary. These are thoughts that I'm having. So if it was a journal, these are things I would be writing down, just writing them down. I have so many questions. So the podcast is going to be slightly different because it's not coming with any strategies of how to do whatever. It's not coming with practical steps of doing whatever. I am genuinely also looking for answers. And I have so many questions. I do not have answers. I am so interested in hearing your thoughts on this. Please engage and just share on all platforms, whichever platform you may be listening from and from whichever part of the world you're listening. Just share your insights, share your experience around this topic so that we help each other. At the beginning, when we started with our introductory episode of the podcast, I did say I'm looking for a community that will also, help me navigate this journey of self-reacquaintance. So I am looking forward to hearing how you have gone and done certain things, and how you got through to the other side if you are struggling with something like I am struggling with forgetting, just so that we are able to learn to navigate these spaces as we grow together. So I am definitely looking forward to that, and I encourage all of you to just do that. Give me feedback on how you navigate this area of your life. So as I was saying, for me, forgiveness is something that I can easily handle, but forgetting, that is a different story. So today we look at the idea or concept of forgiveness, how memory impacts it, and whether we are failing to forgive if we cannot erase the hurt from our minds. Maybe before we even go deeper, let's start here. What does forgiveness really mean? I have found that forgiveness at its core is about releasing someone from the burden of their wrongdoings against us. It is choosing not to hold on to bitterness, to resentment, or even anger. So in a podcast that I listen to a lot, this lady says holding a grudge is the easy part, but forgiving requires some supernatural power, supernatural grace, because we don't forget the offense, but we choose to love anyway. And then my mind goes, because, wow, that's heavy. I'm struggling with these questions. Whether does my inability to forget mean I stopped loving or caring about these people? Does it truly mean that? So the subject is so nuanced. It has so many layers to it. My brain is getting tired just trying to answer or just to have some kind of clarity and idea on how to answer these questions. But honestly, does forgiving truly mean we should also forget? So there's this phrase, forgive and forget. It makes me so uncomfortable. For me, I don't use it because when we really think about it, it sounds almost unrealistic. It sounds impossible. I believe we are designed to remember things, especially moments that impacted us deeply, whether good or bad. I don't know though. I don't know if this is me justifying my inability to forget, or I don't know. I just don't know. But anyways, memory, how we remember is how we learn. Memory helps us protect ourselves and it helps us to grow. So expecting ourselves to erase a big or hurtful event entirely may be asking too much from ourselves. Or is it really? Is it too much to ask, especially as a Christian person? I don't know. In addition to what I was saying, I found from research that from a psychological perspective, memory is or serves as a protective mechanism, and that when we are hurt, our brains create strong connections to those memories. Ne? These memories then get stored differently than ordinary events because our brain flags them as important, as well as experiences that we might need to be cautious about in the future. And that's interesting for me because I think it answers some of the questions I'm having. So from these, what I'm getting is that we don't necessarily remember so that we hold on to grudges. I don't believe that. I think it is an event that happens subconsciously to make us aware and protect us from the same harm or hurt in the future. I think so. So I try to always bring whatever topic we are talking about home. I try to talk about my experiences, in this case, my own struggle with memory and forgiveness. So let's get a bit personal for a moment. I have many examples where I have been hurt and I believe I truly forgave. I have truly forgiven someone and I believe that. But my memory of what they did still lingers, unfortunately. I can say, yes, I've forgiven you. And I will truly mean it from the depths of my heart. I will believe that I have forgiven you. But every now and then, especially when you do something, that memory bubbles up. And when it does, it makes me feel some kind of tension. And this then leaves me wondering if maybe I am still holding on to some part of that pain. And this makes me question, am I failing at forgiving because I remember? Or what is this? So let's use a very simple example. I think it's not that deep. It's not that hectic. It's something that we can use for the purposes of this podcast. Especially because I'm using this example because I was triggered again yesterday at work. And if I had forgiven, I believe I wasn't supposed to be triggered, but I think I was triggered. So just to give a bit of context and background, there's a lady who recently, I think about 2 or so years ago, she started working with us. Her circumstances were quite unique. And because of this, I had a soft spot for her. I tried my best when she came. I think she came into our office and, my manager always sent her to me, you know, always sent her to me for advice, for me to guide, and until we developed some kind of a relationship, because I ended up supporting her in how to do her work, giving her positive feedback when she did well, and trying to show her how things are done when she did the opposite. Sometimes, yes, I would be hard on her. I always say this, I'm not a teacher, so I get impatient sometimes when people take time to grasp what I'm trying to teach them or show them, because I don't have the patience of a teacher, I think. I try my best, but I don't think it's one of my strongest points. So I would also be hard on her when I wanted to teach her something and I felt like she was being slow in, you know, catching or grasping what we are talking about. Especially when I had also my own work pressures, because, you know, we work under pressure sometimes. So I would do so much for this woman, not because I wanted anything in return, but I just empathized with her and her circumstances. She was already a good writer. At least she was learned. But I had to train her on how to write in the style that was acceptable in our organization, for example. I would involve her and invite her to my work events just so that she could be involved and see how things are done. In these travels together, we got really close because we would spend time together, especially when we were traveling. So we got close. Or at least that's what I thought. And we would talk about so many different things, including family issues, right? That's what happens when you build a relationship. She started having her own program, which I supported from the beginning. And now she would have her own events, her own meetings. She would call me to debrief, even if I couldn't come to one of her events. We were good. And we were close until one day she came to ask for a favor. I thought about it and I thought, you know what? I mean, I can do this for her, especially now I'm able to do this thing for her. So let me just do it. And I said yes to her. But I had a condition. I told her that whenever I needed this thing back, there should not be any issues. She should just give me what's mine. She would have to give me what belongs to me, because I really don't like being inconvenienced with my things, especially. So we agreed. That was that. Maybe let me just give me more information so that people understand. Like I said, it's not a big deal. So it's something I think we can talk about. I just didn't want people knowing what I was talking about. But those who know, know. Those who don't, it's fine. So Our work building is huge, ne? And has so many people in it, but it doesn't have enough parking space inside the premises. As a result, other officials have to park across the road in an open space. There's no shelter. There is security, but there's no shelter. It's just open space. You know, not nice at all, at least for me. So she asked to use my parking one time. I park in the basement in the premises of the building because my car was away. It was being used somewhere during that period. So I said, yeah, of course, you may use it. I gave her access. We have to follow some process for me to give her official access so that she's able to even get into the parking lot. So we followed the process and we did that. And we agreed that when I needed it, like I said, I would tell her and she would move. Now, it happens that one morning, some emergency, my personal life's emergency comes up. And I call her and tell her that I need to use my parking that morning because of this emergency without giving her, you know, all the details. But I tell her that today I have now changed my plans and I'm coming with a car and I'm going to need to use my parking. And obviously I'm calling her because I know she gets to work before me. But I call her and we talk about this. And she doesn't sound like she has an issue with it. And I indicate that obviously I was not able to communicate this earlier, like the night before, because it is an emergency. It just happened now. So now, because of this emergency, I have to have the car because I have to be somewhere else immediately when I leave work in the afternoon. So she doesn't sound like she has an issue. She says, okay, fine, bye. But then I get to work eventually when I get to work. Like I said, she gets way earlier than me. I get to work and she hasn't moved. She has refused to move her car. She didn't move it. And she didn't say to me on the phone that she was not going to move it. Now I had to be stuck a bit looking for an alternative, asking for security to look for another parking for me while I just wait there, wasting time for someone to look for parking for me, parking that I have because someone else refused to move. Eventually, the securities find the parking. But at this point, I am annoyed. Okay, extremely annoyed. So I decide that I'm not going to talk to her until I am calm, you know. Also, we work in an open plan. You don't want to be saying things. And I decide that I'm going to keep quiet until I'm calm. But she instead comes to me. She decides to walk from wherever she comes from to come to me laughing. It's funny. It's a joke in front of people and says, so what did you end up doing? Where did you park? And I ask her, why didn't you move after I requested? She says, but why did you tell me at such short notice? Also, it's raining outside. It was not going to work for her, clearly, because it's raining outside. So it wasn't working for her to move her car. It was going to be an inconvenience. And at this, I was so shocked. I'm shocked at this point. The conversation is also getting heated. I am also raising my voice. I say to her, so you think I owe you explanations about my private personal life to justify why I needed to use my parking? So you think it is okay that I am inconvenienced because you don't want the inconvenience? Do you think that is right? So there was then that back and forth until I told her that, you know what, I don't want to ever see you there again. From now on, you are no longer allowed to park there. She said, okay, it's fine. Oksala, your securities will give parking to others And at the time, I think she thought that everyone, I would sometimes give parking to other people. And I think she thought these were just random people that were just parking there. She didn't know that these people are people who always, always would ask for permission from me to park there. And that it's people that I actually gave permission to. But that I just decided to give the parking to her because of the relationship I had with her. And because of that, other people were no longer able to park because I gave my parking to her. I don't know how she thought that worked, but anyways, I told her, okay, it's fine, whatever. It is just parking after all. So I guess if it was someone else that I didn't have such or that kind of a relationship with, I think it wouldn't have been such a big deal. I think I wouldn't have cared as much. But because of the relationship I had with her, this incident of her not caring how she made me feel after everything. And her inability to just accept that she was wrong and apologize and perhaps also give me a reason to say, yo, Zanele, I couldn't move, you know? It was raining so hard, if it was. I don't know. Anything. Give me some kind of reason. She couldn't do that. And that, for me, it hurt me. It really did sting a little. And in my head, she showed me a side I didn't appreciate and, frankly, a side I didn't like. The side of self-entitlement that you now feel you own my property just because I gave it to you in terms of your need. Parking that I even pay for. The parking that I fought so hard to get. So there's a whole story about parking at my workplace. People wait for years in the waiting list to get that parking. So it's a long story that I'm not getting into right now. But it was that situation of saying, you now feel entitled to what is mine. So you don't want the inconvenience, but it is okay and fair that I get inconvenience because you don't want the inconvenience. But anyway, like I was saying, I am a queen of not caring and not being moved or bothered or shaken by other people's actions or even what they say. But there are people who I don't expect certain things from. People who are close to me. People who are close to my heart. Well, it wasn't such a big deal that I would be angry forever. I was definitely annoyed for a couple of days and then it was done. That was that. I stopped being annoyed and I started talking to her. I mean, we worked together. There was no running away from that. And my boss, who didn't know of this issue, would continue sending her back to me whenever she needed whatever. My boss would say, Zanele, Zanele. So I had to work with her. But I noticed, even from my side, that things were different. Things had changed in my heart, how I feel about her. Things were just different. I guess there was a dent that was left unaddressed. And I don't know. I did forgive her and moved on, but things were just different. So we recently had some changes in the sitting arrangements and she moved far away from us. She moved. But to a different floor altogether, she had to move so that she has now a line function. She didn't have a line function before. Yeah, I hope you get what I'm trying to say. Now she has line function managers. But she comes and assists with this one thing whenever my manager's personal assistant is not around. So my manager's personal assistant was away for a couple of weeks. So this person would come and assist, particularly with making coffee for my manager, who loves drinking coffee a lot because I would be busy. And sometimes I'm not able to, or I forget to, you know, do it. So she comes and assists a lot, which we appreciate so much. In her assisting, though, she would also leave some items dirty and not washed. So I mentioned this in the wrong place because there were people there. But I said, please remember to wash those things. It was teaspoons. After using them, please wash them. And the reason why I had to bring this up was because I found them somewhere, these teaspoons, in a cup, like almost hidden, and they were all dirty. I found them because I was asking, what happened to the teaspoons? Why are we now left with just one? Because I know we have many teaspoons. So I looked around and found them somewhere, you know, like they were like almost hidden in a cup where she would put them after each use. Now, that cup looked like it had been there for about a couple of weeks with those dirty teaspoons inside. It was so disgusting, at least for me. The coffee had turned from being brown to grayish. I am certain it had some kind of dangerous bacteria sitting inside there. In any case, I soaked it with all those teaspoons and I had to wash it thoroughly. It had to be washed. The teaspoons had to be washed with that mug, with the cup, had to be washed deeply. So I asked her to wash them after each use because that is that. I'm thinking that's just that. I'm saying it and then that's it. But instead, she started talking back. She was talking about how she always sees the personal assistant leaving these teaspoons there dirty. So she decided to do as the PA does. And I'm like, what? It quickly turned into an altercation. There was a back and forth again where I was saying, I don't remember seeing the dirty teaspoons, so many of them just sitting there. So this escalated to something it really didn't need to become. She said to me, the PA always washes these teaspoons. If you don't wash them, then that's not my problem. And I was like, Haibo. At this point, I went from 1 to 59. Quickly, I went to my, you know, to the extreme. And I said, CC, if that's your attitude, then just stop coming here. Stop assisting. Stop coming here. Don't come back. We will make the tea. We will wash the items ourselves. Because, you know, that went on until we stopped eventually. She went to the kitchen, I don't know to do what, came back and said, I think when she came back, she thought I was now calm. She said, Zanele, you should stop being so rude. And that I just can't say she shouldn't come back to help because I didn't ask her to come help to begin with. She just offered. So I cannot be the one telling her not to come back. Well, that's a whole other conversation. So while she's saying this, at this point, I am trying to be calm. In my head, I'm like, this one is really pushing me. But my face is calm. And I'm trying to stay calm, but I proceed to say, you are quick to make noise about how I reacted when I told you not to come back. But you are not talking about what you said to me. I didn't like what you said because how it landed to me is that she will come, make a mess, and someone else will have to clean after her because someone else normally cleans after her. So she will continue making this mess. It's not her problem that someone is not cleaning. Now, the PA is not around. So it means someone is me. I have to clean after her mess, huh? I'm like, huh? And it's not her problem. Yeah. Anyway, people will think I'm crazy fighting about teaspoons. But anyway, I'm laughing now. I was really annoyed yesterday on Friday. So now I'm fine. Later on, I had a conversation with my friend who was there at both incidences. The first one about the parking in the car and this one This is someone who knows how our relationship was with this lady. So I said, friend, please be honest. Do you think I overreacted? Because there was just something inside of me that was not giving me peace. So I'm like, do you think I honestly overreacted? She said, I think there are issues there that are still lingering from the last incident. The way this one escalated, there was definitely underlying issues from both sides. You both quickly went so far, so fast. We could not even say anything, all of us that are here, because it just went so fast, so fast. And there are issues that need to be addressed. Before that, this friend was also able to mediate at that point. Remember when I said she was coming back from the kitchen and she was saying, I'm a stop being rude. At that point, we almost got back to it. And this friend was able to mediate and just said, ladies, just stop it. You cannot act like this here. You've both said your pieces, so just stop it. The lady then earlier apologized for her part and I apologized for my part, and that was that. Now back to now, later. My friend is saying there are issues, but she acknowledges that it was big of both of us to be able to eventually, you know, apologize to each other, to at least say I apologize for my part. But then I said, show me. I don't think I meant it when I apologized. I really didn't. I just said it because I think she was saying it. I think at that point I was not ready to apologize, but I did. So I tell my friend that I don't think I meant it. Also, I don't think we were really fighting because of teaspoons. So my friend was right. It was the unresolved issues that I genuinely thought had long passed. Clearly, they were still there. I remembered that this lady, she's like this. She doesn't like being corrected, and she never sees herself or accepts when she's done wrong. I think this is coming from the first incident, because that's what I believed even with that incident. I think my perception of her changed then. Now, this is how I viewed her now. So I was definitely triggered, because for me, I went back there where I was like, this person has entitlement issues. So now she feels like she has a right to just make a mess, and she's entitled to someone coming and cleaning after her. So, yeah, I had these questions now. Does this mean deep down I didn't forgive? I don't know. But I realize there is definitely something there that needs to be attended to. Why did I get so worked up about teaspoons, for God's sake? Anyways, I am blessed truly to have people around me who will hold me accountable, who will be honest with me, and who know the journey that I'm on, and who are there to just help me stay on this journey. So that was a lot. That's a lot. I know the struggle can't and is not just mine. Studies on forgiveness reveal that we are actually better at remembering emotional experiences, especially painful ones, than pleasant or neutral ones. And it's not deliberately about, you know, wanting to hold on. Our brains automatically prioritize what might matter most for our safety or our well-being. So research, not me, research says forgiveness and memory can coexist. It shows that while forgiveness can reduce our feelings of stress and enhance our well-being, the memory doesn't just disappear. In time, though, the emotional sting tied to the memory may disappear even if the memory itself remains. So scientifically speaking, just because we remember a hurt doesn't mean we are holding on, we are holding a grudge. It's natural, it's part of how our minds are wired. So this is where forgiveness comes in. It is about learning to live with the memory. While I have the memory of what you did, but choosing to be kind, choosing to forgive without letting the memory dictate our present. So I like also, outside of bringing in my personal experiences, I also like going back to scripture for clarity. So one of the verses I found where Paul was reminding us in Ephesians 4, chapter 32, Paul says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. So what I am getting here, though, again, in line with the earlier research we were talking about, the Bible does not say forget as God forgot. Instead, the emphasis is on showing kindness, compassion, and releasing judgment, really. And it goes on to Isaiah 43, verse 25, where God says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. I will not remember your sins. And I believe God's choice to not remember in this case is about choosing not to hold our sins against us. It's not about forgetting in a human sense, but rather about choosing mercy over memory. But that's just me and my interpretation of it. So maybe we are not required to forget in order to truly forgive. Instead, perhaps we are asked to make the memory or render the memory powerless, to turn it into a part of our story that no longer controls us. But how do we do that? How do we achieve this? This, I think, is a journey I am on, especially after yesterday's incident. I am fully aware that there's work I may need to do because it doesn't feel right. Maybe forgiving without forgetting allows us to learn from the hurt while finding freedom from it, maybe. This might even be, a deeper form of forgiveness, one where we acknowledge the pain but choose compassion and grace anyway. It's hard, right? It's so hard not being too quick to cut people off, but to definitely place them in the right compartments in your life so that you don't put yourself in harm's way, protecting your heart, but still showing kindness and love. Learning to think and using the correct words, even when emotions are high. I think that's what it is. I think I'm not going to try to forget because, like I said, my mind is not wired like that. But I will definitely continue to try to release the resentment or the anger that always tries to come with the memory whenever I remember an event. I am on this journey and I said I am struggling. I truly believe that if you've truly forgiven, you should not be triggered the way I was triggered yesterday. And there is something there. Perhaps, who knows? Maybe there is some unforgiveness, even if it is subconscious, but I think it is there. I think there is something there. Now, as a Christian woman who grew up with a strong personality and who believes in standing up for herself, but who is now also very intentional about learning and trying to let go and let things be and just, to allow God to be in charge, I was convicted by the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you, I am being convicted even now. These last few hours, the Holy Spirit has made it a point to make me feel uncomfortable for my reaction And at this point, it is not even about what the other person did or said. God wants me to apologize. Because God knows that the earlier apology was not even an apology. God wants me to apologize. So I have no choice but to obey and to yield. And I will apologize. Now I'm thinking about the logistics. Whether do I phone? Whether do I wait for Monday to talk to her face to face? Those are the logistics that I'm going to think about. But I have no choice. God has instructed me. I have to go apologize. And whether I'm the right or the wrong one, unfortunately, I must apologize because of my work and my journey that I am on. I tried last night. I was trying to also negotiate with God that maybe I don't need to apologize. I'll just stay away from this person. But he says, God says, is that truly how an obedient child of God behaves? What do you think Jesus Christ would have done in this case? And honestly, I don't think he would have responded or reacted the way I did. And I am Christian, so I need to do better. We went to bed last night, but my little baby was not well. So he woke up to tell us that his head was still sore. I woke up to tend to him, to give him medication, water, and pray for him. But then again, I struggled to go back to sleep. This thing came back again and again in my mind. I just sat there and started writing and finishing up this podcast because I write it down. I was finishing writing this episode because I couldn't sleep. Those who know me know that I don't struggle to sleep unless something is bothering me. I will sleep. Even coffee doesn't keep me awake. When I decide to sleep, I sleep. But I sat for a few hours writing and just thinking about this until I eventually went back to sleep. And I am so glad that it's a Saturday because I didn't have to wake up like super early for work. Furthermore, I recognize that each memory holds a lesson, you know. Remembering can be a way of acknowledging how far we've come and respecting our growth. There should also be boundaries though. I will talk about this sometime. I love the topic on boundaries and I spoke about it in one of my recent talks. Setting boundaries. Because sometimes forgiving doesn't mean letting them back into your life. Also, I guess this depends on the type of hurt, the type of relationship you had, their intentions at the time and how it made you feel. But boundaries, I think, and I believe they protect us from getting hurt again. So we will talk someday about setting boundaries. I understand that memories might come up unexpectedly. However, I am committed to releasing them each time they do. And I am acknowledging that this is a daily practice. It's something that I'm going to have to do daily. Whenever these memories come up, I'm going to have to do this. Release the other feelings that come with the memories daily. I will continue to pray for healing, turn to God and ask for his help in releasing any bitterness attached to the memory. I am trusting that God sees my effort and healing is a journey and I will get there. It is not a single step. It is a journey. I will get to it. So yeah, that is that on that. In conclusion, just to sum up, because this is long, we spoke about forgiving. So to forgive is a command from God. Therefore, we need to obey. But forgetting is a challenge that might be beyond our human capability. I think God understands that. Forgiveness does not necessarily require us erasing memories. It just requires us to choose peace over resentment, grace over bitterness, and so on and so forth. So here's something to think about. When you remember, take note of the feelings. Do you feel peace or does it stir something more painful in you? If it's the latter, maybe it's just a sign that there's still a part of you waiting to be set free. like with me and this colleague. Not sure what exactly it is, but there is something wrong and I'm gonna work on it. And this was just hard. This episode was just hard. I'm glad I got through it. To you, my community, thank you for joining me today on Software Acquaintance. If this episode resonated with you, take a moment to reflect and see where you stand in your own forgiveness journey. Remember, forgiveness is a process, and forgetting is not a failure on your part. It is human. Please subscribe, download, share your thoughts and insights on this topic. Please also share the episodes and the whole show with your loved ones. Until next time, let's keep reconnecting with ourselves, finding peace and growing in grace. For now, God bless and goodbye. Enjoy your weekend and the rest of your next week. Bye.